writer, essayist, and critic of art and literature. Her first novel, and I'm not going to pronounce the Hungarian, Night School, A Reader for Adults, and that was published in 2007. Her short stories have been widely anthologized, and both her novels have come out in German. Abendschule, 2012, and Als nur die Tiere liebten, 2014, both with Suhrkamp, and both translated by the wonderful Terezia Mora. Zsófa lives and works in Budapest, where she was until just a few weeks ago, I think, associate professor of American Studies at Eötvös-Loránd University. Just literally a few weeks ago, I think. But you'd been there a long time, hadn't you? Been there 30-something years. And her latest collection of short stories is You Can Breathe Now. Lehet legyenni, is it? Almost. Hungarian's not my first language. Zsófa Bán, over to you.
Okay, so good morning, everyone. I don't have a title, actually. Rosie just asked me if I have a title. I don't, so I'll just jump right into it. In his famous 1948 essay, Qu'est-ce que la littérature? Sartre maintains that the nature and aim of literature has to be reconsidered in the post-war world order. And now, almost eight decades later, the current global historical political situation calls for the role of literature to be re-examined yet again. It seems there is a need to do so every time a paradigm-shifting event takes place in history. For example, the introduction of the printing press on a global scale, or the groundbreaking principles of the Reformation. But such was also the case after World War II, when the question arose whether poetry could ever be written after Auschwitz. Currently, we find ourselves in a somewhat similar position. Can poetry, or fiction in general, be written after 9/11, after February 24th, or more recently, after October 7th? Every time a cataclysmic event happens, the role of literature is placed on trial. As opposed to all the other arts, what is it about words, more specifically words of fiction, that provokes such recurrent critical investigations? In East Central Europe, and more specifically Hungary, from at least the 19th century onwards, literature has been a prominent political channel for the expression of national identity and sovereignty when it first began to be written in the respective national languages, as opposed to the dominant hegemonic one, German, in the case of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. Consequently, writers in this region have inevitably had the responsibility of fulfilling a political as well as an artistic role, both in the use of language and in the content of their works. Which is why you can find so many poets and writers among leading figures of our revolutions, among members of political oppositions, or among members of parliament. Writers in this region, whether they like it or not, are expected to function as public intellectuals and carry the responsibility of voicing their principles and political positions. It's not by chance that the first Hungarian president after the political transition in 1989 was Árpád Göncz, a writer and translator who had close ties to his Czech counterpart Václav Havel, also a writer. Thus, history and politics have always been overrepresented in our fiction, which, by the way, is one of the reasons why women writers, who have traditionally tended to focus more often on the realm of private narratives, have had, until recently, difficulties in being accepted as writers of serious literature in this region. Under such circumstances, Sartre's concept of committed, engaged writing, which he sees as a kind of tool used for the sake of communicating the idea or ideal of a free society, seems easily adaptable to the literature of these countries, with the important difference that here, literature has not merely communicated this idea, but has actually performed it. During the communist era, independent art, but especially literature, was indeed deeply linked to the practice and expression of freedom, if only between the lines. However, after the fall of communism, when the need to read between the lines suddenly disappeared, writers had to explore new, more direct forms of expression that called for a new function of language and literature. Similarly to Balzac and Flaubert in their time, they realized that writing in the old mode was no longer possible. At this time, when a new authoritarian dictatorship has developed in the heart of the European Union in Hungary, new forms of economic censorship have been implemented, discarding the old method of having texts abridged or mutilated by censors who had to work hard for their money not to miss any forbidden content. The new ways of censoring literature or art in any form is by partially or wholly cutting funds. If a book cannot be published, a play performed, or an exhibition curated, there is nothing to censor. Problem solved. However, what this new type of autocracy did not account for is the proliferation of new genres and new modes of communication. You can listen to politically engaged slam poetry, spoken word, rock or pop music released on Spotify, YouTube, or other platforms, read uncensored blogs, or follow independent, unhindered influencers. This tsunami of new formats and content is impossible to control, let alone hinder. Literature, if it is to remain influential and not just an archaic form of expression, needs to incorporate all these new genres, platforms, languages, styles, and registers, as well as the voices of thus far excluded minorities. It needs to be more flexible and open than ever. At the same time, it must allow multiple historical perspectives and to refrain from developing new forms of political censorship. It needs to remain a free republic.